Please open your Bibles to the book of Matthew, the 26th chapter. Matthew 26 in your Scofield Bible, page 1037. 1037. I'll be reading the 6th through 13th verses. We'll read these verses responsively, starting with verse 6 through verse 13. May we stand, please, as we always do for the reading of God's Word. Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, "To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor." When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, "Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her." And let's pray. And Father, there's no more special thing in all the world than to be where we're supposed to be on a Sunday morning. Thank you that this is the place. Thank you that we're thy people. And thank you for that work that you would want to do will be done. We have confidence and faith in the fact that you'll meet with us and that you'll do a great work in our midst. Bless, we pray, except that we yield to thee individually. There cannot be the kind of blessing that you intend. We pray for your blessing upon our preacher, for thy power, for thy help, for him, for the service, and for each listener. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our Father, may the sweetness and the love of Christ abide in this room for the next 30 minutes. And may thy servant be filled with thy love and grace. And may that overflow to the hearts and lives of our people. Come in sweetness and in power. In Jesus' name, amen. Mrs. Howes and I were asked many years ago to go on a cruise with Dr. Russell Anderson, Mrs. Anderson, Dr. Rice, and Mrs. Rice. I'm talking about probably 25 years ago. And we went on that cruise back in my vacation days when I was not yet sanctified. But we were in Nassau in the Bahamas, in a big department street there, on that one main street that goes through Nassau, the big department store. And I was standing there looking around, and I thought gas was escaping or something, a leak or some steam or something. I heard a psst. And I asked the waitress there, the clerk, I said, "There's a strange noise here. What is it?" She said, "I don't have any idea." It kept on going. Psst, 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 psst. I was a little afraid something was going to explode. And so I turned to walk away. Russell Anderson had gone to the perfume counter and picked up some spray perfume. And it baptized my neck and hair on the back with perfume. I mean, boys whistled at me all over Nassau. I couldn't wash that stuff out. And everywhere I'd go, in an elevator or in a washroom or something, people would say, "What in the world is that odor?" It was woman's perfume. I think it was Channel 5 or something, It was woman's perfume. I never had so many guys flirt with me in my life as I did. But everywhere I went, I spread a certain fragrance. That's sort of what happened in the house of Simon the leper. Jesus was there, and he was came to a meal, the house of Simon the leper in Bethany. While he was there, Mary and Martha, two of his favorite people, were there. And suddenly, Mary jumped up. She took a big, what the Bible says, an alabaster box of ointment. I don't have time to explain what the alabaster means. If I did have time, I wouldn't know. But I sort of a horn of ointment, you might say. Like we'd have a horn of oil or something, a horn of plenty. And that's about what it was. And she took that ointment, and she poured that ointment on Jesus. Now, the Bible says in one place that she poured it on his head and his feet. In one place, it is implied that she was preparing him for burial, though he was not yet for quite a number of hours to be buried. At least it was an act of worship, adoration, and praise. But as something I want you to notice this morning about that little event. The disciples, and Judas Iscariot was the one who said it. He said, "This is stupid. This is dumb. This alabaster box of ointment could have been taken and sold, and the money could have been given to the poor." But Jesus stopped it, as he often did. He said one time, he said about Mary, he said, "Let her alone. She'd done what she could." But Jesus was not against what she did. But there's something I want you to notice, that regardless of whether it was best or not best, there's one thing that Mary did, and that is that all over that room there was a fragrance. You just take a bottle of cologne and you just sprinkle it on your rug in your house, and you will find that that aroma and scent will cover the entire house. And that sweet fragrance of the alabaster box of ointment that Mary had used to anoint the Savior filled the house with aroma. I wish I could be that way. I'd like to be the kind of person that everywhere I go, I fill the room where I am with the sweet fragrance of the presence of Christ. It is said in one place in the New Testament, it is said that they took note of them that they had been with Jesus. Now, how did they know? I mean, how do you look when you've been with Jesus? Well, what is it if you've been with Jesus? But they could tell. The people could tell. They took note of them. Was it a certain way they talked? I have an idea they weren't saying, "Boy, we had a blast." Was it the way they sang? I doubt if they came back singing rock music when they'd been with Jesus. What was it? What was it? It said they took note of them. Do you know, the truth is that most people, especially spiritual people, they can know and tell if you've been with Jesus or not. They took note of them that they had been with Jesus. I'm going to talk this morning on that little fragrance that filled the entire room. Let me ask you a question. Where you work, does the sweet fragrance of Christ fill the room where you work? In the schoolroom where you are, does the sweet fragrance of Christ fill that schoolroom? If you play on an athletic team, does the sweet fragrance of Christ fill that gymnasium or that dressing room? I'm saying, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if we could be the kind of Christian where that everywhere we went, there was something special and they could take note of us that we had been with Jesus? I'm not like that, but I wish I were. But the other day I had a college young lady in my office in the counseling, and she also was a bus kid. She had grown up in our church and was one of our bus kids, and she had grown up and then graduated from Hammond City Baptist and gone to our college. And I was talking to her about her future, and we were talking there, and all of a sudden she stopped. She was talking, and she stopped talking, and she said something that blessed me. She said, "You know what? You're a nice man." And I said, "Yeah." No, I didn't either. But that blessed me. She had nothing to do with the subject.
And one reason it blessed me, nobody's ever told me that before. But you know, I'd like to have the disposition and have been with Christ enough and have worshipped Him enough and have prayed to Him enough and have exalted Him enough and honored Him enough to where that people could take note. There's something in this room that's a bit different. You know, I've known people like that. I got a letter one day about 14 or 15 years ago from the state of Michigan. A little lady named Ruth Elaine Bartels wrote me a letter. And she said, "Dear Dr. Hiles, I'm a pastor's widow. My husband is now in heaven. He went to heaven recently. And he was a pastor here in the state of Michigan. I have no family where I can go. I have no children. I live alone." She said, "I believe in your ministry, and I'd like to come to Hammond, move to Hammond. And I will, if you'll do one thing for me, or two things." She said, "Would you find me a little room big enough to put a cot in where I can sleep, and a room big enough where I can just fall on my face and pray? And I'd like to come to Hammond, and I'd like to spend the rest of my life just praying for you." Ruth Elaine Bartels did come to Hammond, and I gave her the apartment back here in the back. She lived there for years, and I gave her a little prayer room right up here and where she could fall on her face and pray. Every Sunday, Mrs. Bartels would come to my secretary's office, or Sunday or Wednesday, and she'd ask Miss McKinney, "Where is the pastor preaching this week?" And Mrs. McKinney would tell her exactly where I was preaching, and if I was preaching what time zone, Eastern or Central or Mountain or Western, and she'd tell her what time zone and what time I was preaching. If there were two preachers, she'd tell her if I was first or second. And for 12 blessed years, I never stood in a pulpit one time, not one minute, without Mrs. Bartels being on her face praying for me while I preached. I won't go into it very much, but as a deacon, when Mrs. Bartels went to heaven, one of our fine deacons came and said, "Brother Hiles, could I take Mrs. Bartels' place? And he comes to Mrs. McKinney's office, gets my schedule, and that deacon prays for me every moment while I'm preaching anywhere in America or around the world. But Mrs. Bartels, let's go back to her. Mrs. Bartels, if you knew her, you knew that she had been with Jesus when you were around her. There was a fragrance that filled every room that she entered. There was a sweetness that colored every conversation. Hey, you could be that way. You know, it doesn't cost any more to have the fragrance of the love of Christ than does to be an old grouch. I used to teach in a little college called BEST, Baptist Advanced Schools of Texas. Had about 30 students, and Joe Boyd was the president, so you can imagine what kind of... But anyway... I used to drive over and teach there in the Dallas, over the east side of Dallas. It's about a 45-minute drive back to my church in Garland. Well, one day I was driving down a Buckner Boulevard, and a little kitten came out across in front of my car, and it was black and white, striped little kitten. And I ran over that little kitten, and it was a skunk. You still think it's sad, don't you? But anyway, the skunk, he stayed on the road, but left something on my car. You know, I never got it off. It was weeks. I mean, weeks. I washed that crazy car. Well, Ms. House did. And washed the car. But we never got it off. And by the way, I'd get in that car and get out. And folks could tell that I had been with a skunk. Hey, folks can tell if you've been with a skunk, too. Folks can tell if some skunk's been talking to you at McDonald's and running somebody down. Folks can take note that you've been with a gossip. Folks can take note that you've been with a critic. But you know, I'd like to be the kind of person, everywhere I go, they say, "What's that beautiful smell? What is that? Is that a Chanel No. 5? Or Nana Rocky? I didn't say the right thing, did I? Or man, pew!" And they'd say, "Pewee!" But down in Nassau, they said, "Woo! What do they say about you? Woo-wee or pee-wee?" But now, here's this lady. She's sitting there in the room around the table, and Jesus is there. And all of a sudden, spontaneity comes, and in a burst of affection and love, she jumps up, she takes the alabaster box of almond, and she pours it on the Savior. And somebody says, "She couldn't have done that. She couldn't help but do it." And everywhere, all over that room, the fragrance of love was spread. I've known people like that. Dr. Charles Weigel was that way. Mother Pollard was that way, an old lady at Hillcrest Baptist Church where Miss Howes and I grew up. I hesitate to use anybody's name here, but that man right there and his wife, that woman right there that way, it's not all the same. But there's a certain kind of a fragrance that's in any room where they are. Hey, wouldn't it be wonderful? How do you get that? You get it by praising God. You get it by worshiping God. You get it by honoring God. You get it by glorifying God. I could almost always tell if Dr. Rice was in a room. If I did not see him, I could almost always tell if he was there. Because there was a certain kind of an aura, a certain kind of a fragrance, a certain kind of a presence that Dr. Rice had. You didn't have to see him to know he was there. I haven't told this story in years, but years ago in Garland, Texas, I was pastoring in Garland, Texas, and the church, the auditorium was about the size of maybe, well, at this particular time, later it became the size of this main floor, but by this particular time, about the size of, half of this lower floor. And that time, all the people parked across the street. We didn't have a parking lot, but there's a big shopping center across the street. Everybody parked across the street, and everybody came to church, had to walk across the street and come in the same door. So I'd go out in the front door, and I would stand there and shake hands with everybody that came to church before Sunday school. And one morning, a little fellow walked up, about 5'3" or 4" tall, maybe 5'2", and hump-shouldered and way up in years, must have been 64. And, he was way up, he was in his 80s, and approaching 90. And he walked in and had hair was as white as could be, and the look of Christ, and immediately I felt something. Immediately. I mean, when he walked in, I walked up on the steps, there was a fragrance, there was an odor of worship and praise. And I said, my name is, my name is James W. Moore. And I said, Mr. Moore, I'm glad to see you. He said, where's the preacher? Bear in mind, I was only about 26 years old. This has been 400-500 years ago. And he said, where's the preacher? Where's Reverend Pastor Hiles? And I said, I am Pastor Hiles. He said, I want the senior Pastor Hiles. And I said, I am the senior pastor. He said, you're not as old as I thought you'd be. And he said, Brother Jack, he called Brother Jack. He said, Brother Jack, I'd like to join your church. I'm from Iowa. And he said, I've been preaching over 50 years. That's why my voice is about gone. And my health is gone. I've got a serious heart condition. And I had to come down south because I couldn't stand the winters up in Iowa. And I moved down here to Garland, Texas. And Brother Jack, I'd just like to come and hear you preach. And I won't cause any trouble. I won't give you any trouble. I'll be your friend. And if I could just join your church and spend the last years of my life here. And I said, you got yourself a deal, neighbor. I got him a platform rocking chair. They don't make those anymore, do they? The kind that it rocks back and forth, but no rockers. Sort of like you are off your rocker, you know. But they got him a platform rocket and put over here. And the building was rectangular. And right over here next to the wall, we put that platform rocker. And Brother Moore would sit over and rock while I'd preach. And he'd go, amen, amen. Keep preaching, Brother Jack. That's good preaching. I'd get on something like dancing or smoking. He'd say, pull over and park there for a while, Brother Jack. And, listen, every Monday morning, he'd come by my office, 9 o'clock, not 9:01, not 8:59. If he got there early, he'd stay, wait till 9 o'clock. He'd knock on my door every Monday morning, 9 o'clock. He'd come to my office, and he wouldn't look at me, little rascal. He'd pace the floor and say, Brother Jack, I just came by to talk to you this morning. I want to tell you some stupid mistake that I made when I was a kid preacher. I don't know how I ever did it. I want to tell you about it. It was always the same stupid mistake that I'd made the day before. But he never told me. Now, don't you come by my office tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. Don't you do it. But. Every time that man walked in the room, you could feel an aura. You could smell the fragrance of his presence. You could know somebody was there. You know why? He had been with Jesus, that's why. And this little lady was so overcome. She broke the alabaster box of ointments and the fragrance filled the room. Brother Moore, one of the best friends I ever had. He brought me books that were given to him by preachers that of many, many years ago. He knew personally Billy Sunday and some of the great preachers of the past. And he'd bring me sermons and outlines and sermon titles and suggestions. And what a dear friend he was. for 2 or 3 years he was in our church. One Sunday I looked over here and the platform rocker was empty. And that night and the next Sunday, and for several weeks, that platform rocker was empty. I went by his house to see what was wrong, but nobody was home. I gathered maybe he'd moved somewhere. One Sunday night, after midnight, the phone rang. I answered, and a voice, lady's voice, said, Reverend Hiles, this is a nurse at Spiegel's Hospital. She said, we have an old man here. We don't know who he is. He has no identification or anything whatsoever. And he's an old man. And all he keeps saying is, call Brother Jack. Call Brother Jack. Call Brother Jack. She said, now we don't, he's had a serious heart attack. He's dying. He has no family with him. He has nobody. We have nobody to call. And he kept, call Brother Jack. Call Brother Jack. And she said, we knew that you were called Brother Jack. And she said, would you know this man? And I said, he's a short man. Yes. I said, is his hair very, very white? Yes. I said, is there something special about him? And she said, yes. And so I rushed down. It was only about 2 blocks to the hospital. And it was in the wee hours of the morning, 1 or 1:30 in the morning by that time. And I rushed down to the hospital and I walked in, room 120, room 11 or room 12. I forgot which one or the other. I'll check and call you and tell you. But Mr. Moore was in there. And as I walked in, I knew he was dying. And I was a young preacher, and I wanted to be sure I knew, did right. You know, so I got my testament out and put it under my arm like that, you know, and had my black suit, black tie, black socks, black shoes, black everything. And if I'd had a casket, I'd been ready to go with him. But I walked up to his bedside, and I was going to say, dust to dust and ashes to ashes, and may the Lord bless thee and keep thee and give thee his grace, and then now and the end of the ages. Amen. But that wasn't the spirit of that room. When I walked in, that little man said, come on in, Brother Jack. I'm just about to take a trip. Been looking forward to for a long time. That's not what I'd planned. He said, Brother Jack, he said, just a few minutes, I'm going to see Peter and James and John. And I'm going to see Elijah and Paul. I'm going to see what all those fellows look like. And Elisha. And I'm going to see Abraham and Moses. And then he began to cry and tremble. He said, and I'm going to see Jesus. Oh, that old man. That old man all of a sudden said, Brother Jack, could I ask you to do something for me? And I said, yes, Brother Moore. He said, I want you to have a Bible conference after I'm gone. Here are the speakers I want you to have. And he mentioned Dr. Rice and Dr. Roberts and a few others. And he said, I want you to have that Bible conference after I'm gone. And we did have that Bible conference after he went in honor of James W. Moore. And then old Brother Moore looked up at me and he said, Brother Jack, come here a minute. He said, let me have your hand. I gave him my hand. He said, both of them. I put both of my hands in his, and he put his old hand under mine. But before he did, he took the oxygen mask off his face and laid it beside him. And he held my hands like that. And he said, Brother Jack! Brother Jack! Keep preaching it! He put a hand across his heart and the other hand across his arm. And the angels came and took his old spirit in the presence of Christ. Whatever happened to sweet Christians that could fragrance any room they entered? Whatever happened to people that talked about Jesus instead of about each other? Whatever happened to churches where when you walked in, you felt something? Felt it. Years ago, and I've forgotten this story. I hadn't told this one in decades. Mrs. Howes and I went to candidate. I candidated. She sat in the audience at the Green Miller Road Baptist Church. 44 people there that Sunday before I left. There's 4,000 members, but 44 people. A little old bitty building worth $6,000 that Sunday. And Maynard Huffman was the song leader. And Maynard got up and he said, "Folks," he said, "we're going to sing 167. We're going to sing 167." And I thought, now what in the world is he crying about singing 167? And he said, that's amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. His house and I were sitting on the front row and I leaned over and I said, I feel something. Did you feel something? She said, I felt it when we walked in the door. I felt it when we walked in the door. We grew and grew and grew and grew and built a giant auditorium and dedicated that building with 2,558 people there on a Sunday morning, overflowing that 2,200-seat building in just a matter of a few years, about 4 or 5 years. And the Sunday morning we dedicated that building. After service, a couple came down over here and said, "Brother House, we'd like to tell you congratulations on this new building." And she said, the lady said, "We also want to say this. We walked in that door back yonder a while ago." And she said, "The minute we walked in, I said to my husband, 'I felt something, didn't you?' And he said, 'Yes, I felt it when I walked in the door.' Whatever happened to God's people and God's preachers and God's churches, where there was a sweet aroma and a fragrance of the sweetness of Christ? God make it so that we so live with Him and walk with Him and honor Him and praise Him and worship Him so people can feel the fragrance of His presence every time we walk in a room." I travel many a mile in the same car with Dr. John Rice. Dr. Rice would sit in a car, and I never knew he was talking to me or Jesus. He'd talk to me a while, and he'd say, "I love you, Jesus. Oh, God. Oh, Jesus, help us." And he'd talk to me a while. He'd talk to Jesus a while, and talk to me a while, and talk to Jesus a while. But none of that. Not only have I been around people and known people who spread the fragrance of the sweetness, sweet aroma of Jesus everywhere they went, but I have seen actions that spread the sweet aroma of Christ. Not long before Dr. Rice died, we were together in a meeting down south. He called me to his hotel room, and he said, "Brother Hiles," he never called Brother Jack, he'd always say Brother Hiles or Dr. Hiles. He said, "Brother Hiles," he said, "I want to talk to you. I sat in that little room and you could feel the sweet presence of Christ." And Dr. Rice said, "Dr. Hiles, my race is almost run. And I know it." And he said, "You and I have been together now for these 22 years. And I want to thank you for being a good partner." And he said, "I want to ask you to keep on running the same race that I've tried to run." And I said, "Dr. John, do something for me." He knelt beside me and placed his hands on me and prayed for God to give me a portion of what he'd had. And the sweet presence of Christ was in that room. I was on an airplane not many years ago, flying into O'Hare Field. When I got on the airplane, I knew a Christian was on that airplane. He said, "How do you know?" "I just knew it." "Well, I don't know how I knew it." "Quit asking me. You're prolonging the sermon." But I just knew it. And I did not know this. I did not realize that I was whistling gospel songs. And I just kept on whistling. I whistled. So I was told later, "Blessed Assurance, Rescue the Perishing, I Must Tell Jesus, and Sweet Hour of Prayer." But I knew somebody was on that plane. It was a Christian. I didn't know who. Got off the plane to O'Hare Field, went down to get my luggage. I was waiting there at the luggage, and an old couple walked up to me. I'm talking about way up in years. And the man came over to me and said, "Sir, could I speak to you?" And I said, "Of course." He said, "My wife and I got on that plane." He said, "Before we ever sat down, we felt like there's another Christian on that plane." And then he said, we heard somebody whistling. And we traced it to where it was you that was whistling. And he said, "My wife and I had to come home to the mission field where our health has failed us. And our ministry on the field is over. And our home for a half a century is behind us. And we didn't want to leave. And this is the hardest trip of our lives." He said, "You'll never know what it meant to us to hear somebody whistling. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine." I want to tell you something, folks. There's something more to this Christianity than not going to movies. There's something more to this Christianity than not smoking, not watching the VCR movies. Well, you shouldn't do that. But I mean, there ought to be such a relationship and a sweetness of fellowship and praise and worship and honor of Jesus that He will overflow on us, and the fragrance of His love will fill whatever room we're in. You folks that were my mother's bedside before she died know what I'm talking about. If you went in that little room at the college and saw my mother on her deathbed, you know what she'd say. She'd say, "Sing for me." What would she say? Sing? She'd say, "Sing, Sweet Hour of Prayer." and you could hardly get out of that room without singing Sweet Hour of Prayer. Every time I was in there, in the last few months of her life, I couldn't leave without singing Sweet Hour of Prayer. I have sung Sweet Hour of Prayer in every tune there is. I was at O'Hare Field, and I called Mother one day before I left, as I did for 18 years. I always called her right before I boarded the plane and told her I loved her, and she told me she loved me. And I said, I love you, Mother. And she said, wait a minute, son. She was on her deathbed. 2 days later, she died. Wait a minute, son. I said, what is it, Mother? She said, you haven't sung Sweet Hour of Prayer. I said, Mother, I'm at O'Hare Field. There are people of the hundreds walking by me all the time. She said, don't you love me, son? I said, yeah, Mom, but I love these people out here, too. And she said, son, sing Sweet Hour of Prayer. So there I was. Sweet Hour of Prayer, sweet, and singing it, and folks start laughing at me. I don't know why, but I was singing in the concourse right there, one of the busiest concourse of O'Hare Field. I was singing Sweet Hour of Prayer, and then I finished it, and I turned around, and there was a group of people that were crying. Must have been 50 people there, tears streaming down their cheeks. And there in the old hallway, the concourse of O'Hare Field, there was the fragrance of the love of Christ that spread all the way from the hospital room at Hiles Anderson College. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you loved him like you should? Wouldn't it be wonderful if there was such a sweetness of praise and fellowship and worship that sweet fragrance that came from the alabaster box of ointment from Mary when she broke it upon the head of the Savior and spilled it upon his head and upon his feet? Wouldn't it be wonderful? One of my sweet stories, favorite stories. It may be my favorite story of all. It's an old one. I've used it often here, but not in recent years. About 1955 or 56, five or six, we had Dr. Bob Jones Sr. at our church in Texas. At the time, our oldest daughter, Becky, was only three. We asked Dr. Bob to come to our home and eat that Sunday. And Dr. Bob Jones Sr., that great, and you didn't know him, you missed a lot. But Dr. Bob Jones Sr. walked through the threshold of our house and through the door and sat in our living room and had lunch with us. As he walked through the door, our little three-year-old Becky, who's now 38, she toddled over and looked up at him. And Dr. Bob, he said, hello there. What's your name? And she said, Becky. And he said, and how old are you? And she said, this many. And he said, you sure are a pretty little girl. And she said, and Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said, do you like candy? And she said, he reached in his pocket and took out a little package of assorted flavor lifesavers and gave them to Becky. And she reached in her heart, her breast, and took out her heart, and she gave it to Dr. Bob Jones Sr. I never saw a child love a preacher like she loved that man. Every time I'd brag on another preacher, she'd say, he's not as good as Dr. Bob Jones Sr. yet. She loved him. Oh, she loved him. 10 years passed. We moved to Hammond. I was preaching at Bob Jones University for several days. They used to have in the old dining hall winding stairs up to the top and overlooked the students, and that's where the Jones family ate up there. And I was up there eating, and Dr. Bob Sr. was up in years. In fact, he was senile at the time and was staying in a hospital room on the campus there. And couldn't come to chapel. So, but he came to the lunch table, and I said, Dr. Bob. He said, Dr. Hiles. He said, I heard your sermon this morning on the radio. And he said, boy, I felt like hitting the mourner's bench when you got through preaching. And he used to pull his head like that and used to do like this with his lapel when he'd talk. And he'd say, I felt like hitting the mourner's bench. And I said, Dr. Bob, I said, I'm so glad to see you. And Dr. Bob Jones Sr., senile, he said, how's Becky? How's Becky? He hadn't seen her but one time in her life. And that was 10 years ago. How's Becky? And I said, Dr. Bob, do you remember Becky? Why, he said, of course. I said, he's the oldest you now. I said, she'll be 13 Saturday. Oh, no, she couldn't be a teenager. I said, she will be Saturday. She'll be 13 Saturday. And Dr. Bob, she loves you more than she loves any preacher in this world outside her dad. And sometimes I get jealous. And Dr. Bob, she loves you. And tears rolled down his coarse old battle-worn cheeks. He said, I can't believe she'll be 13 Saturday. We're sitting at the table Saturday morning, breakfast table. Doorbell rang. I went to the door. There's a postman there. He said, a special package for Miss Becky Hiles. It's her birthday. Becky ran down to the door, and she ran back up, and she said, Daddy, Mommy, it's something from Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., a birthday present. She opened it there at the table. Would you like to know what it was? It was a carton of assorted flavor lifesavers. And I thought of that line by Emerson, I think, who says, so nigh is grandeur to our dust, so near is God to man. When duty whispers, lo, thou must, the youth replies, I can. There's a way that you can love him enough. There's a way you can spend time with him enough. There's a way that you can praise him enough. There's a way you can worship enough until even your presence in a room will spread the fragrance of his love. I was on an airplane flying back from out east, I think Philadelphia. There's a very attractive young lady sitting next to me. Seemed like they always want to. But I was sitting next to the window. There's an empty seat right here, and this very attractive young lady was sitting over here. She must have been 22 years of age and a very, very beautiful young lady. And so there was a young man who was up in the front of the plane, and he decided he was going to come make a play for this young lady. So he came back, and he said, hello there. And she said, how do you do? He walked on by. He came back up the aisle the other way, and he said, stopped and said, why, hello there. She said, how do you do? He walks back up the front of the plane, turns to come back, and she knows it. She reaches in her purse. She pulls out a little testament, and she begins to read it. He comes back and says, why, goodbye. And do you know, and all of us around could smell the sweet odor of that testimony. How do you get it? You worship. How do you get it? You honor him. How do you get it? You praise him. How do you get it? You spend time with him. You talk to him. And you adore him. And you lift your voice in praise to him. And get to know him. And he'll rub off on you. And when you walk in somebody's room, the sweet presence of Christ will fill the room. And the aroma of his presence, even as it did. I'd love to think that I could preach long enough to where I walk, not this morning, but in years. Boy, that ruined your day, didn't it? I'd love to think that I could preach long enough to where when I walk in that door, there'd be a sweetness settle over this room. I'll never forget the lady. She doesn't live in this area anymore. But she used to sit back here next to that K-beam back there with two little children. And every Wednesday night when I walked in that door, they would start singing. Folks around them could hear them, but nobody else. Everything's all right in my Father's house. In my Father's house. In my Father's house. Everything's all right in my Father's house, 'cause Brother Hiles is home. Why don't you decide to spend some time with Jesus? Why don't you decide to love him? Sit at his feet and look up at him as Mary did and worship him and praise him and honor him, so that every place you go, the fragrance of his love will be spread. Our Heavenly Father,